We're back for part two in our three-part series with Tom Oakley. I'm really enjoying this conversation and learning about strength training, all things fitness, and being mindful of injury. Can't wait to continue this conversation. Let's get into it. What about your journey then? You've had a few injuries over the years.
I have, yeah.
What's been your experience and how have you kind of pushed through and overcome some of those injuries?
Yeah, okay. Well, we were just chatting beforehand, weren't we? And I was saying, because you just asked me, I think, like, organic. I think you were aware of a couple of bits and pieces I've had over the years, right? But interestingly, you know, as a gym owner, people think, oh, it must be so easy for you to train. You know, from a time perspective, I still need to find the time. The only difference between my life and somebody else's life is I don't need to drive to the gym. I'm already there. I still need to find the time. I've still got a very busy lifestyle. You know, family and work ultimately do come first. So even from that perspective, you know, people put it in, oh, it must be so easy. It isn't. And believe me, right, I am probably more injury prone than most people, and I have had so many injuries over the years, and I'd say, mate, I'd probably be in significantly better shape. I'd probably hold much more muscle mass, to be fair, if I hadn't had the injuries I've had, because I've had such long periods of time where progression just really hasn't been able to be made. It's only been like the last 2 years where I've really started to get back into the groove of progression as far as hypertrophying strength and stuff like that. Globally, because there were certain things I was able to do consistently while I was injured, like deadlifts, for example. And I did that through that period of time and got really strong with that. But I've had so many injuries, and it all stems from when I was 15 and I was drinking alcohol at the recreational ground with my mate, shout out Sam Elliott. And I was just drunk with my mate and I broke my arm, and I broke it quite badly. And I had to have an operation on it. And after the first operation, it wouldn't straighten past 90 degrees. So it's completely fixed. And I'd have pins through it. So I had to have a second operation. And I can't remember the time. I think if I remember, it was like quite a long period of time, actually, as well, between the first and the second one. If I remember rightly, the second one was in February of 2008. Which is a long time ago. I'm pretty convinced it was in February. And I think the first one had happened almost 6 months or something like that before, something like that anyway. So it was quite a long period of time. And after the second operation, it made a lot of difference, but I'm still to this day lacking in about 30% of extension at the elbow. And the amount of problems that has caused, like knock-on effect, is crazy. My lower back, my hips, my opposing shoulder. I had massive issues with my opposing shoulder. And, you know, to this day, I mean, I've worked so hard over the last 5 years to get to a point where I can train consistently now. Like, I mean, mate, in 2020, I was just coming off the back of a shoulder injury, like kind of got it sorted, was able to make some progression. It started creeping back in again. Through that period of time, I was training for a half Ironman, never got around to doing it because my knee was causing me problems. The knee was causing me problems because my hip was out. My hip was out because my shoulder was out, because my elbow was out. It's like a never-ending long-term thing. So, you know, when people, I would say probably 80% of the clients that come into the gym can get into a position to train from an injury prevention standpoint within the hour easier than I can. Like, I'll still have to warm up for sometimes it's quite bad. I'll have to warm up for like 30 minutes. But I remember a few years ago, and maybe like 2017, 2018, like all of these things were, I was still quite uneducated at that point from a rehab standpoint. You know, I'm still a great coach, but kind of like my own issues, how bad they were and where it kind of got to, I wasn't really aware. Like, I knew it was bad, but I just didn't really get what was going on globally from, like, you know, like I just said, elbow that affects the shoulder to affects the... And, mate, I can remember I'd sometimes have to warm up for 40 minutes before I even did a workout. I'd have to designate 2.5 hours to train sometimes.
Blimey.
That's crazy, isn't it? And it's just because the problem is quite a severe problem, but, you know, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is. It's something I'll have to manage all the time. And I mean, you know, I don't and can't overhead press, really. that's crazy. You know, I program it all the time in the sessions. Everybody, it's inherently a very important movement that people, I can't really do it because of the amount of mobility and kind of rotation that's occurring at the scapula as I'm overhead press. I just, it's so hit and miss. I just don't bother with it. It's crazy, isn't it? And you think me as a gym owner, that's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It speaks to how much you love working out and how much you love what you do, I guess, really.
I love it.
You know, because I'm thinking, how have you kept going, really, with all those challenges?
I remember in 2013, I was having a conversation with a guy called, it was in a gym I used to train in, and he was quite a few years older than me. He was probably, and I would have been 21 at the time, I'm 33 tomorrow, which is crazy. And he was probably mid-40s then. No, maybe, I don't know, it doesn't really matter, but he was a good amount older than me. And he was really educated. Like, I really looked up to him. And I can always remember him, we had like a really, you know, like when you train in and you start all of a sudden have a conversation, and we just got into a really in-depth conversation. And he was like, I never understood it was that bad. This was a long time ago. Like, what did I just say? This was 12 years ago. And he was like, even he said then was like, most people would have given up by now. Because it's just way harder for me to have to be able to maintain these things, you know, like it is harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I just love it, mate. Like, I love what it does for my mental health. I love what it does for my own self-esteem. You know, we were talking about like social media posts and stuff like that. Like, I've done quite a lot of those posts recently. The amount of people that just feel shit about themselves all the time, and it's because of what they're not doing.
I know.
Push yourself on a regular basis, and you'll start to realize that you're really capable. And that's why I do it. You know, don't get me wrong, I want to look better than everybody else. I still want to look jacked in a t-shirt. You know, that's why I would never inherently just become a runner, because I don't want to be skinny. I want to look better than most people, but I don't look amazing. You know, there's people out there that look fantastic, but I think I've done all right considering I'm as injured as I am pretty much all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's inspirational, isn't it? I'm sure that's going to be inspirational for some people, because, you know, I've met people over the years, and people that do suffer with aches and pains. I mean, for some people, you know, with different conditions, it might not be possible. But certainly, you know, a lot of people will have said, well, I can't go to the gym. I'm in too much pain. Or
yeah. I'll tell you what, here's one thing. Obviously, over the course of the last like 5 years, I've run really consistently. I used to run when I was younger. When I was a lot younger, so I did join the military, and I was medically discharged in basic training because of my elbow. So again, like, it's completely shaped my life in that sense, but I'm happy about that because I'm glad I didn't stay in the military. But I used to run consistently. I've run very consistently for the last 5 years. Where I'm at now, I am so bodily aware that, again, like, what the shoulder is doing while I'm running to the hip is... I'm so bodily aware now that I recognize that if that wasn't the case, I'd be a lot faster. It creates an inefficiency with my like gait, the way that my hip is moving, and I have to be so switched on while I'm running to keep that. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes I can switch off, but a lot of the time I'm so like trying to maintain a position in my and I would be faster. I'd be a better athlete if it wasn't for this stuff. So I have to work hard to you know, I'm completely focused. I'm completely dedicated. I'll be 89 years old doing press-ups, mate.
That's amazing. That's an incredible story, really. You know, I think that...
To me, it's just normal.
Yeah, but no, that is amazing. You know, that takes a lot to keep going.
I've not wanted to give up, but there's been so... The elbow's been the source of so much mental torment, especially now in like social media age, you know, like... You see people do this and you think, especially when I was really injured. In 2022, my shoulder was so bad. I just couldn't do any pressing movements, you know, like felt like my physique like regressed a lot, and it was difficult. That was difficult to deal with because, you know, there's pressure being a gym owner and stuff out. And I seeked out a shoulder specialist who is an absolute wizard. And I'm so grateful I come into contact with him because he's completely sorted my shoulder out. And, it was well worth it. And there's been points where I've thought, God, I wish I never did this job sometimes because of how much talk, because I'll just never give up. But you think that for 1 second and then it's deleted from your brain. I love what I do, mate.
Yeah.
I'm never going to stop doing it.
Psychologically strong, even when your body was letting you down, I guess. But there was probably some dark days within as well. You know,
it was, mate. Actually, like towards the back end of 2022, I'll tell you what. I'm more than happy to discuss this. Right, the back end of 2022, because I was injured and I was slipped. I'd slipped into such a negative mind of stress with work, and because I didn't feel like I was in a position when I'm like training really hard and everything's going really well, I feel like really in control with everything. It's great, right? I like riding that wave of like, so like right now, January is amazing. So I love it. Love being busy. I love it. I love the hype around it. Then because I was injured, it kind of lowers your self-esteem in a sense, you know, how you choose to feel about yourself, because you can't do all the things that you're doing. So that zest of life, I say this to people all the time, train consistently, you feel better for it. So like, the back end of 2022 was difficult for that. And I slipped into like a bit of a negative mindset. I mean, it wasn't awful, but I did have to say to the rest of the team that this is going on at the moment and I'm sorting out, like I wasn't in the best place. And coming into 2023, I had to say to lads, look, I might have been less present at the back end of 2020, it's because this has been going on and I'm obviously sorting out. This is why I did Kilimanjaro, because at the end of 22, I said to myself, rather than just putting all of my eggs into one basket and saying to myself, I need to look a certain way all the time, all of my eggs were in one basket and, you know, consistently physique related, I need to start giving myself that sense of worth and being proud of myself for doing stuff with other things.
Right.
So I started the year off saying, well, I want to do a challenge, something that would be physically demanding, where I'd be able to kind of learn a lot about myself. And my God, did that happen without it being shoulder related? Because I was still in that. I mean, by the time I did Kilimanjaro, my shoulder was actually great. And I was actually in great shape again, because it was like 6 months later after the initial problem. And Kilimanjaro was amazing. But the reason I did that was because of that. You know, so it's not been easy, mate. I still have to work super hard.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking that by whether it was a fluke, that what you did through that process was the exercise, which, as we know, one of the six pillars.
Yeah, man,
it's a magic pill.
Yeah.
If there was one and the scientists say this, that if there is one thing to do in life that can be a magic pill, it is exercise.
Jesus.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's what you did all the way through. So it's just interesting to me that
I'll just never stop training.
That got you through psychologically, really.
Yeah, like when I first started training, when I was like 16, 17. I used to do bits and pieces, but when I started training like really consistently.
I'm just interrupting this episode just for a few short moments to let you know that I've got a page where you can leave me a voice message. I want to make these podcasts as interactive as possible, and wherever I can, include you, my brilliant listeners, into these episodes. So head over to speakpipe.com/Angeline and go ahead and leave me a message. It could be a question, it could be a review. You might even want to let me know what you'd like to hear on the upcoming episodes. Whatever it is, please drop me a message, and we might even include your message in upcoming episodes. I'll endeavour to answer all the questions, but I can't guarantee that I'll get to all of them, but I'll certainly give it a good go. Anyway, let's get back to it.
You know, when I was like early 20s, I then started to realise, well, actually, I felt more capable. I felt like as a person, I was like more confident, you know, I had more self-esteem because I'd consistently trained. You consistently train, you start to realize that, well, if I can do that, well, what other things can I do? You know, and that has always stayed with me. If you train consistently, you are in a better position for every endeavor of life. When it comes down to nutrition, and I said this to everybody on the run to Christmas, no matter what life throws at you, try to stay consistent with being active and doing exercise, because the positive endorphins that come from doing that, you're just going to make better decisions with every area of your life. The way that you choose to deal with relationships, the conversations that you have, and obviously with nutrition. That's why no matter what happens, your priority should always be to train. Even if it's, and you know, like, mate, oh, well, I can't train 5 times a week, so I won't bother. What a ridiculous mindset. Just do once. Once is better than nothing.
Mm.
Once is enough as well if you do it right, to maintain the progression that you've made. If you do nothing, then you're definitely going to regress, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you should always train.
And I can't help but be reminded of podcast that we did a month or so ago with Adam Brooken, my cousin.
Right.
And one of the things that he does is exercise. He's running marathons now as well. And, you know, he's got an amazing story. But I couldn't help but be reminded of that magic pill, you know, that's a huge part of his prescription, if you like, to him getting well. He went from addict to running marathons now. And that's what he was saying, that he has to make sure that his food, his nutrition is good, his exercise is good, his sleep. You know, if he has an off day, then he asks himself those questions. What's been going on with my...
What variables have I missed?
Yeah, yeah.
I just recognize, you know, we've joked about this before. You know, people think I'm just running around like a headless chicken all the time and I've got ADHD, but I've just got loads of energy, mate, because my nutrition's right. I get enough sleep, I drink enough water, and I train on a daily basis, and it just makes you more positive.
Mm.
You know, people think about ADHD, I reckon I'm just using the 7.
Well, it's literally creating the happy chemicals in your brain.
Absolutely.
It's literally a shot of medication, you know.
Absolutely.
So, no, that's brilliant. Love that. So we were touching on not necessarily heavy weights, but strength training. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot on social media of body weight exercises.
Okay.
What's your opinion on that? Do people have to lift weights, even if they're just lighter weights, or is body weight enough? What's your take on that?
That's a really great question. I don't want to say the same thing I keep saying, but it's within context. A perfect example of that would be, what are you trying to get out from the specific demand? So if you're somebody who is trying to join the military and a fitness test is you need to do X amount of press ups, then the specificity of doing the bodyweight exercise is probably a good idea.
Mm.
So it's within context. What are you trying to get out of it? If the variable is, well, let's say the question is, what is better for building muscle, bodyweight exercise or like a strength training movement? Even then, there's loads of different styles of strength training, because then you could categorize, well, you've got resistance machines, you've got free weights. So like the answer to the question is whatever is a movement that you are in enough control of to be able to push the required intensity.
Yeah.
Right. So we say that RPE, you've heard of RPE, right? Mm-hmm. So rate of perceived exertion, a scale of 0 to 10, as an example, it's only, you know, it's just a hypothetical scenario. 10 would be, if let's say you were going to do a set of 10 reps with something, which is the gold standard rep range for a start, right? And it's a very good rep range for building muscle as well. 10 RPE, when you're doing 10 reps, would be, if I was to waft 1,000 pounds in your face on that 10th rep, there is no way you could have got 11 reps, even if I was offering you a grand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is RPE 10. Okay. Complete, you know, muscular failure, as it were. Required intensity is around RPE 7 to RPE 8, RPE 9. And then RPE 10 is arguably too hard for some people given context. But anyway. So the required intensity is the most important thing, okay? Because that, as we were saying before, is if we're trying to put stimulus on the body, all we're ever trying to do is get your body to change. And to get your body to change, it needs to be hard enough for your body to recognize that it needs to change.
Mm.
So the required intensity is the most important thing. Well, let's say, for example, you're trying to do a pull-up and you can't do pull-ups. It's not a good idea to do that bodyweight exercise. If you're trying to do press-ups and you can't do press-ups yet, to get the required intensity, then machine variables are okay. But they're all great, right? Arguably for building muscle, a machine is better because the resistance profile is fixed. And I say this a lot in the sessions, don't I, right?
Mm.
It's easier to push to the required intensity on a machine that doesn't flail about, where it's a fixed pattern. Is easier for that to happen because it's fixed. So all you've got to do is just push, and you haven't got to worry about a dumbbell hitting you in the face.
Mm.
Okay, now again, let's say ring press-ups, for example. A ring press-up is inherently probably one of the best horizontal pressing motion that you can do for the level of stability that it brings from using the ring for the shoulders, the amount of stability that you gain from doing that, the level of range of motion that you can get out the shoulder girdle, the amount of stretch, the amount of demand that comes from that from a building muscle standpoint. It's all bollocks if you can't do a press up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's again, context. It's what you're looking for and where you're at.
Yeah. If you want to, I mean, building muscle is scary for some women in particular, but the reality is that building some muscle is healthy. It's healthy for us, isn't it?
The best mindset with building muscle for all ladies, and this is black and white, it's not my opinion, is to try and always just try to build as much as you can, because it's not going to happen easily. The moons need to align for you to build muscle. Everything needs to be put into place. If one thing is missed, you're making it harder for yourself. So your best intention is to try and build as much as you possibly can in the shortest period of time, because it doesn't come easy, and the benefits of having muscle mass on your skeleton are tenfold, mate. From a nutritional standpoint, you'll burn calories easier. From an injury prevention standpoint, you're less prone to injury if you've got muscle on your body.
That's it for part two in our three-part series with Tom Oakley. Join us again next week, where we continue our conversation for the third and final part in this three-part series. Look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good one.